This is Small Biz Florida, the podcast designed and produced specifically for Florida small business owners and entrepreneurs. Small Biz Florida, talk that works for Florida. This podcast is supported by the Florida SBDC Network, providing the tools, strategies, and expertise to help Florida's business community thrive. Visit the Florida SBDC online at www.floridasbdc.org or contact your local office and get started on your path to success today.
And this is Small Biz Florida, the podcast and broadcast that's all things business across the state of Florida. And we are coming to you from the 2022 annual Florida Economic Development Conference here in beautiful downtown St. Pete. We are at the Bayfront Hilton, and there's lots going on, and it's all about economic development, which basically translates into all things small business. So we are all the segments coming at you will be from the conference, and which is absolutely the ballroom is full of those that are supporting economic development and supporting the small business community across the state of Florida. We've got one of those individuals with us right now. A return guest, actually, from last year's conference, Mr. Roy Messing. Roy, welcome to Small Biz Florida.
Well, thanks for having me back, Tom.
Roy serves as the executive director for a very innovative program called the Florida Center for Employee Ownership. It's all about helping employees understand how they can potentially put together a plan to buy a business. In short, it's a technique and a tactic in succession planning. Is that kind of a fair overview?
That is a fair overview. A lot of times, while we work directly with the employees, a lot of times this initiative really comes from the business owner themselves. They are interested in transitioning the business. They want to stick around in the community, and they're looking at the opportunity to sell to their employees who are, you know, many times sons and daughters are gone from the business, and the employees are kind of the extended family that they'd like to see carry that legacy forward.
Nice. So give us a little bit of your background, kind of your pathway to the Florida Center for Employee Ownership.
Certainly. Several years in banking, probably far too many in banking, as some say, a reforming banker, was CFO of a small company for a couple of years, and then actually joined something called the Ohio Employee Ownership Center out of Kent State University, a long-established employee ownership center. What really intrigued me at that point in time, right around 2008, 9, 10, there was a lot of transition going on with the Great Recession, and really getting interested in business succession planning and looking at the opportunity to transition that to the employees. Was very, very interested, had an opportunity to explore that in my banking days, and very interested in working with those individuals to help transition those businesses, if at all possible, to the employees and keep the company local and continue the legacy that the organization had in the community.
Nice. So tell us a little bit about the Florida Center for Employee Ownership, and then kind of tell us maybe some of the tactics and strategies that you employ when converting a business to employee ownership.
Certainly. Right now, a lot of focus on the Florida Center, other centers that have been established around the country. There's just a great opportunity to transition those businesses, we think, to the employees. In Florida, there's just about 50% of the businesses, privately held businesses, are owned by individuals who are 55 or older. That represents 212,000 businesses.
Wow.
2 million employees. Revenue of $350 billion and payroll of over $70 billion. So it's a huge impact.
Wow.
And one thing that we know about these businesses, especially the smaller businesses, they've been working hard, moving forward. 75% of those smaller companies, I'd say if you get into a company that's less than $10 million in revenue, 75% of them don't have a succession plan in place. And as they march down that path, if nothing happens to step in, look at exit planning, the potential, what are their options? Many of those businesses will just go away, and that's a huge loss for everybody.
Yeah. Now, again, we one of the concepts we teach in entrepreneurship and when we meet and consult and work with small business owners is you really do have to – succession planning is part of that, the management of the planning process.
Correct.
It sounds like one of those things that you can kind of put off and wait, but hence the word planning.
Correct.
You start early with a succession plan. It's not something you create in the last 6 months.
That's true, and there's really two sides to that. Certainly, it's the management side team that you want to bring in. Make sure you have a good staff in place who can carry that program forward, carry the business going forward. A lot of people think, well, I'm just going to transition out of this business and somebody from the outside will come and buy my business. Well, if you are the owner and you are the business, somebody's got to hire somebody else to come in and take over that. And so your company is going to be worth far less than what it could be if you have a good management team.
And you bring up an excellent point. And I mean, this really is about trying to maximize the value. You know, a business, small business owner has worked their whole life to build value in this business. And so often, like you say, maybe you get to the end of this. Where is the value? How do you get the value out?
Correct.
So this really is about maximizing value for a small business owner, is it not?
Correct. It's maximizing value, and maybe sometimes it's all about maximizing value. Other times there's other factors that they want to look at, a business owner wants to look at. They may be willing to take a little less value. Maybe they're in a smaller community and they're really concerned about, I could go out and find private equity, sell my company, get top dollar. But then I know that the business is going to be pulled apart within a couple of years and any impact on the community is gone. So a lot of times we look at those companies that are looking at legacy. A business owner has either, maybe it's second generation. They've taken over from the parents and they have grown the company and it's really moving forward greatly. And they want to see that continue. So there's other factors than just value. If somebody's in it for just value, exit planning is a great tool to get to the place where they need to go so they get the most. Employee ownership is the other option if they're looking internally. If there's nobody else, sons and daughters are gone and nobody else is really looking to take over the business, the employees have much more at stake to keep that business moving forward. So, of course, there's a lot of training from a management standpoint all the way down to make sure that you really have a great team in place to carry that forward and carry the legacy.
And that's absolutely terrific for sharing that, Roy. And as you're speaking, I'm writing over here, and this is a great transition. And when I'm looking at strategy, I'm thinking of strategic planning. I imagine that you're bringing them together and you're strategically planning where you are today and then where's going to be the 5, 10, 15, 20, and then so on, right? That's where you're going.
Correct. A lot of people think an exit plan is an event. An exit is an event, but really exit planning is really that strategic planning on a long-term basis, where you want to go now, where are you today? And a lot of business owners think about, what is my value today? And I want to exit, and they get some idea of what they want to exit, what sort of dollars they're going to need. So it could be a 5 or 10 year horizon where they start planning today to get that company in a position so it's going to continue forward and they're going to get the dollars and all the other benefits that they would like out of that transition.
Yeah. Have you noticed in the years that you've been doing this, any particular industries that more so than any, of course, this could be any industry, but have you noticed any particular area specifically?
If you're looking at employee ownership,
yes.
There's pretty wide swath. Probably there, it's easy to look at ones that probably aren't great candidates if you have something high tech, medical devices, something that can ramp up in value at an extreme rate. That's going to be more of a challenge because you're trying to look at something that's going to grow steady. And the biggest challenge there is the employee ownership structure is going to have a hard time competing with private equity to buy the patents, et cetera.
Right.
But a lot of things that we see, manufacturing is a big space
for
employee ownership. Construction has been big. A lot of insurance companies actually have been big in the employee ownership space. One thing that we find is if there's one company that adopts that employee ownership structure early on and they're very successful, people kind of gravitate towards it because there's an example that they can look at and say, hey, it's successful for me. And that's a big opportunity for on our side is to capture as many stories as we can with as many type of industries as we can, different types of organizations that have successfully transitioned to employee ownership.
And how about years? Like in other words, you know, is there a time frame when you're coming in? Is it maybe 20 years, 25 years, 30 years? Again, I know it can be, you know, it can vary.
It can vary, but typically, yeah, we're going to see somebody closer. You don't have to sell. Some people think, okay, if I'm selling to the employees, I have to sell it all now. We see where some companies sell a percentage of the business, and then they may have a strategy over the next 10 years to transition the rest or keep some of the family. So it's very flexible. Maybe they hit where they're 10 years before they're ready to retire. They're going to take some chips off the table by selling some to the employees, get some cash and move forward. So there's a lot of flexibility in the structure that will allow for that transition. But we've seen companies that have started, within 10 years, they're flipping to employee ownership. So it's quite a range.
Yeah, great, great.
What you had talked about, there were some specific strategies, ESOPs. Talk about some of those specific strategies in deploying an employee ownership program.
Certainly. An ESOP is it's an employee stock ownership plan. That is actually a qualified retirement plan. So not only you need to comply with the IRS, you need to comply with the Department of Labor. So there's quite a bit of scale and scope. So you have to be a little larger company with a lot of cash flow. There are some structures. There are some possibilities for tax benefits under an ESOP that we found. If a company is 100% S-Corp, ESOP, 100% owned by the ESOP, it doesn't pay federal or state income tax because the trust itself that's established is actually the entity that owns the organization, and that's a non-taxable entity. So what happens is the employees, after some period of time when they retire, they pay taxes on their income. But there's a lot of people are looking at an S-Corp ESOP, accumulating a lot of cash, and then they are able to go out, these S-Corp ESOPs are able to go out and buy other companies as an investment strategy. So it's really, really interesting to see that happen.
How does this whole process start? Do you get contacted by those interested, and then you kind of serve as a mentor, a guide, a connector for other resources? How does that work?
Yes, the initial part is people contact us. We go to events like the Economic Development Council, other events. They get interested. We provide a lot of education. We try to help get them moving down the road so they understand, okay, here's where I'm at. One of the first things they want to do is get a valuation on their company, at least some sort of estimated value on the company, so they know, here's where I'm at today, where I want to go. Then we start connecting them with the different resources that will help them down that path. A business valuator, they could go back to their accountants, determine what their tax status, those items are. Maybe they need an investment banker or attorneys. We can get all those, the right people to bring around the table to connect them to start really reviewing this and see if it's the right option for them. And this is a process where a lot of companies go through it. They're very interested in selling to the employees, and for one reason or another, it doesn't work for them. That's fine. At least they're moving down the road and they're starting to develop that exit strategy that they need.
You know, I've got a great, I think about this and I think about employees all the time, and it sounds like employees would really want this. Again, it just sounds something, because people get a little nervous if the CEO and the executive team is starting to leave, what's going to happen to us, right?
Correct.
So it almost sounds like this is something that would encourage and kind of maybe even increase productivity, get them motivated.
I guess a couple points on that, especially in today's environment, when you think about how easy it is for employees to transition. Giving them a stake in the outcome of the organization where they can benefit financially. That's great. And then on the other side, especially as the You look at the, you know, the CEO, the whole team is getting older, you know, and the employees are sitting around there saying, well, what's the strategy? Where, you know, where am I going to go? What's my long-term opportunity? We see people leave, starting to leave companies because there's no, the employees can't project where they're going to be. So it is a great opportunity to give them a stake in the game, business owner to at least communicate that they're looking at something in this fashion and then transitioning that.
And it's a way to continue that continuity of familiar. And again, if the product and service is terrific, they just continue with that.
Right? Correct. It's in, you know, both sides, the employees and the, well, many sides, the employees, owner, management, vendors, you know, all those people that they work with, they want that continuity. And this is a great plan to do it. It takes a lot of planning, execution, and a lot of training, because you talked about productivity. If you combine that ownership, actual ownership in the company, plus a culture that really educates and you know, helps the employees see where it's going to go, studies have shown they're much more productive.
Sure. Yep. Contact information, Roy. How does one begin the process?
Well, the first step is our website. That's www.flceo.org. My email address is rmessing@eoxnetwork.org. And my phone number is 440-567-1060.
Okay. And I know you and I talked after the last conference where I met you and learned about your program that you're willing to come down and have meetings and present information. So, you know, if anybody has any interest at all, you'd be willing to have the conversation and potentially meet.
Correct. We envision the opportunity. We're trying to put together a plan for this fall in October where we'd go around the state, put on some programming, really try to look in some in regional areas where we'd have activities, and then we could do one-offs beyond that if it made sense.
Okay. All right. And I think I forgot at the beginning of this segment of Small Biz Florida to thank and recognize my co-host, our very good friend and standout business school professor at the School of Business at Indian River State College. Thank you again for working with us for the next couple of days here at the Florida Economic Development Conference, Dr. Ricardo.
Oh, it's great. It's always great to be here and talking to these businesses. It's terrific.
We appreciate the help. We appreciate you co-hosting with us. So again, I apologize. You know, Herb, you got to nudge me when we start these things.
It's great.
Don't forget me, Tom. But anyway, it's Dr. Ricardo. That was the other voice you heard here, and he'll be with us for all these segments here at the FEDC conference in beautiful downtown St. Pete. Roy, incredible resource, really innovative program. And a great opportunity for Florida's workforce.
We see it as a great opportunity for everybody and retain these businesses. So everybody, I know a lot of times people think about that new business coming in, take care of what you have, keep them around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great point. Perfect. All right. With that, again, we're coming to you from the 2022 FEDC conference over in downtown St. Pete. The upcoming segments will all be featuring what's happening here at a very important conference for the small business community in Florida. So stay tuned. There'll be more coming at you from Small Biz Florida.
This has been Small Biz Florida, created and produced by the Florida Small Business Development Center at Indian River State College. Your host for Small Biz Florida is Tom Kindred. Partners for Small Biz Florida include WPSL and WSTU and Indian River State College, named the 2019 winner of the Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence.